In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We are journeying through the amazing book of Exodus, and we are in Exodus chapter 22, verses 21 through 27. Now, we're moving from defiling the person, laws against those who would defile themselves, to now laws that are about dignity toward the weak. No society can survive when it begins to mistreat its weakest elements. It almost seems contradictory to the world, and it does. Many leaders have come and tried to exterminate the weak, the ones that are worthless in their eyes. That has never, ever allowed a society to become stronger. The truth is, a society becomes stronger by the way it helps its weakest individual. Now, let's go to Exodus 22, verse 21, and read. "You shall neither mistreat," and that word in the Hebrew means violently oppress, "a stranger, nor oppress," and that word means torment in the Hebrew, "nor oppress him. For you," talking to Israel, "were strangers in the land of Egypt." In other words, remember how you were treated. Remember how your baby boys were tossed into the Nile River. Verse 22, "You shall not afflict," that word in Hebrew means violence, "any widow or fatherless child." So you see these three groups, the stranger, the widow, the fatherless child, all three individuals who really have no defense. God is making a law not to mistreat them, not to be violent or afflict them. Now, verses 23 through 25 continue in this. "If you afflict them in any way and they cry to me, I will surely hear their cry." This is a great piece of truth here. This tells us that if we are the weak, the helpless, and we are being mistreated and afflicted, we can cry to God and he will come to our defense. "Justice will be served. Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. And verse 24, "And my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless." Very interesting punishment that if the Israelites would mistreat widows and the fatherless, then they themselves will produce widows and fatherless children. This is a fitting judgment, and it's a reminder of how God brings consequences to those who sin. Verse 25, "If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like the money lender to him. You shall not charge him interest." And to this day, many Jews still practice this. They do not charge interest for their own. Verse 25-35 of the book of Leviticus says this, "If one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but fear your God, that your brother may live with you. You shall not lend him your money for usury, nor lend him food at a profit. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God." Now, I read these other passages so that you can see that there's more to this command than just the law. There's two sides. There's the negative and the positive. The negative is don't mistreat them, don't afflict them. And then the positive is care for them, love them. They're your own people. Ezekiel 22, verse 12, "In you they take bribes to shed blood. You take usury and increase. You have made profit from your neighbors by extortion and have forgotten me, says the Lord God." Wow, what an indictment. And see that connection once again? When you forget God, you open the door for sin. It's because God's not speaking into your life to convict you, to correct your thinking, to get you back on the straight and narrow path. Deuteronomy 23, verse 20, "To a foreigner you may charge interest." So there is permission here. "But to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all which you set your hand in the land which you're entering to possess." By the way, the law of Hammurabi permitted up to 20% of interest can be charged. But be careful today. We see extreme interest being charged by today's money lenders. They can charge up to 100 or more percent. Very sad. Now, verse 26, if you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. So again, another exhortation of how we're to treat one another. This all comes under the commandments of love your neighbor. Exodus 22, verse 27, for that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. Now, back in the day, your clothes, your outer garment was your means of being warm as you slept through the night. To take away someone's garment is to put their life at risk. But the scriptures have more to say about how to treat the poor. Deuteronomy 24:12, and if the man is poor, you shall not keep his pledge overnight. You shall, in any case, return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you. And it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. In other words, be merciful. Deuteronomy 24:19, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheep in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And when you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. There's those three groups repeated over and over. And when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Jeremiah 5:28, they have grown fat, they are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy they do not defend. This is an incredible indictment by Jeremiah on the people of Israel, which led to Israel's captivity by the Assyrians and Babylonians. Ezekiel 22:7, in you they have made light of the father and mother. In your midst they have oppressed the stranger. In you they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. Another indictment. Zechariah 7:9, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. For the Lord to say this tells you the state of the people of Israel. Just a few more. Psalm 94:6, they slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. And why do they do this? To take what they have. Amos 2:8, they lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Wow, what an indictment that is. James 5:4, New Testament truth. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. So even in the New Testament, this was a problem to the point where God gave inspiration to James to preach the word on this matter. So may you be careful in how you treat the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And I hope your church has a deacon fund or a fund to assist those in your church first as primary. We need to take care of our own who are in true need. Now, it does say in the scriptures, each should take care of his own family before the church gets involved. That's biblical. But we also need to be sensitive to those who are not part of the church. Now, we have to be wise because there would be those who would seek to defraud us and cheat us, and therefore we need to be discerning. But we should always be generous and wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, the next section in our chapter 22 is on power and authority. And this is really about dignity toward God and rulers. And let me tell you, in the day and age and the political world that we live in, this is a truth that we have forgotten. Let me read Exodus 22 and 28. You may need to pull over your car as you listen to this one if you're driving. You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people. I don't know how to say it any other clearer than this. God is making it as clear as day. We should not be cursing our leaders, our president, our senators, our governor, our representatives. We should not be doing that. I know some of you are frustrated with the policies and the practices, and those are legitimate frustrations. But you need to pour that complaint out to God and need to be praying for these leaders, for their salvation. Now, the word revile in this text is to make insignificant or small, to disdain, to trivialize, to rail against. You get the picture of what's going on here? And that's revile God nor curse a ruler. So both terms could be interchangeable, cursing God and reviling a ruler of your people with the parallelism that's going on here. And the word curse means call for harm or injury. And I'm sure all of you heard someone cry out curses and epithets against leaders. 1 Kings 21:9. This is Jezebel. She wrote in the letter saying, "Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, 'You have blasphemed God and the king.' Then take him out, stone him, that he may die." All this was done as a ruse to steal the land of Naboth for Ahab. Now that's a wicked ruler, and they were in power. And yet God calls the Israelites at the time not to curse these leaders, but to pray for them. And God eventually brings his justice. Now, Leviticus 24:15. "Then shall speak to the throne of Israel, saying, 'Whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death.'" So this expands on this concept even further. This is just something we need to be sensitive to in our day and age. Let's continue on in verse 29. "You shall not delay," that means to linger or hesitate, "to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give me." Now, let's make sure we understand the context here. We're talking about Israelites in the land under the old covenant. This does not apply to us. Now, the Passover, God had struck down the firstborn of man and beast who were not covered by the blood of the lamb. In response to that, they were to consecrate the firstborn. Exodus 13:1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." Leviticus 27:26 confirms this. "But the firstborn of the animals, which should be the Lord's firstborn, no man shall dedicate, whether it's an ox or a sheep, it is the Lord's." So what's going on here? God is showing Israelites to have dignity towards their authority. God as the ruler of all, and then the rulers of men. This is such an important truth. And when we rebel against the government, we invite the judgment of God. Now, there's many New Testament passages. We will try to look at some of those going forward, but this is in the context of the Israelites. But it has applicability to us in the New Testament. May you, even this week, take time in prayer to pray for your leader, regardless whether you're Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or whatever your political position is. Pray for our leaders. May you be a faithful steward of your time, talents, and treasures as you honor God and those in authority.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.